Before we get this awesome episode started, I'm just going to warn you, it's a little bit rough. We had some technical difficulties with our Skype, and hopefully I can get it edited together so it doesn't sound terrible. Sorry for that, but what can you do? Sometimes you got to roll with the cards you're dealt and do the best you can. If you want to check out the sponsors of the show, as always, we are sponsored by Mountain Ops, or actually I'm going to change that. We're partnered with Mountain Ops. You know, we work together with them, and they are awesome. They help us out, and one of the things they do is give us some of their awesome supplements, like Magnum, their protein, which is fantastic. After I work out, I throw that in my shaker cup, and I shake it up, and I eat it, because it's delicious, and it's protein, and I love protein. Also, you can check out Yeti, their pre-workout, which I've hit a few PRs on now, and it's part of my Magic PR blend, which, you know, might not be real magic, but at least I feel like it is. And sometimes that's all you need to get a little bit more weight on the bar. And you know what? You know what else is magic? Not having to pay full price for it. So if you want to get 20% off your order, all you got to do is head on over and enter the coupon code NBH20 at checkout, and you will get 20% off your purchase. Man, that's awesome. I wish I could get 20% off everything I ordered. Well, if you want to order some supplements and get 20% off, you can do that with this coupon code, NBH20. Enter it. Get stuff out. Get stuff out. Get 20% off, people. Don't be crazy. Don't sit around wasting your time not having amazing supplements when you can, especially when you get them 20% off. So do that. NBH20. Check out. Do it. Get it. Do it. I don't know. I'm losing my train of thought here. Sorry. Also, you can check out Alaskan Guide Creations. Great guys over there. Originators of the Bino Harness. You know, thanks to Jared Owens, we don't have to carry our binoculars around like the cavemen did. We can wear them on our chest. And for, you know, really reasonably priced, great product, worth the money, head on over to AlaskanGuideCreations.com. Buy yourself a pair. You deserve it. It's Christmas time. You deserve it. You know, all your buddies have one, or they should. And if they don't, you know what? Maybe it's a great Christmas gift you can get for them, or the wife, or the wife, or friend, or whoever can get for you. I recommend it. Phil's worn it all over the mountainside, and he highly recommends it too. Also, if you want to meet Phil in person, or experience the greatness that is No Limits Archery, go to No Limits Archery if you're in the Denver metro area. Stop in, say hello to Phil, talk about the podcast, buy a bow or two, you know, whatever you want to do. Tell him Will sent you. Also, if you want to be part of a growing hunter-athlete community, check out the Iron Wolf Athletics page on Facebook. Or not page, group. It's a group. We're all equals in this group. You know, you can participate, be part of it, you know, get out there, talk about fitness, hunting. You don't have to be alone on an island anymore where you think nobody understands you or gets where you're coming from. You can head on over to the Iron Wolf Athletics group page and participate, be part of it. It's fun. I guarantee it. Also, without further ado, I'm going to get to this podcast. But last but not least, you can also get your Iron Wolf Athletics hat or Natural Born Hunter t-shirt at our Etsy shop. So head on over and do that. And if you feel so inclined, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. We really appreciate that stuff. It's important. We need it. So do it. Thank you.
Phil, are you in like a really dark room or something?
It's your boy, Will Bradley, Natural Born Hunter Podcast here with you, along with my co-host, Phil Big Sexy Mendoza. And today we are joined by a very large, very well-known guest in the lifting strongman, I would say, internet community. When I started my journey into fitness, or at least into functional fitness, we'll say, I quickly became aware of his website, Lift Big, Eat Big, as the one-stop place to go for no nonsense, no BS, unfiltered information in the lifting cyberspace, if you will, a place you could go and get real answers for some tough questions. And today we are joined by Brandon Morrison, the big man behind Lift Big, Eat Big. Those of you watching the video version of this episode probably noticed he is not a small gentleman.
Just in case.
Welcome to the show, Brandon. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming on. So what got you going on Lift Big, Eat Big? Where did this come from? How'd it start?
Well, I was working at a marketing agency in 2011, and there wasn't enough work for me to fill 8 hours of my day with their work, but I didn't want to not get paid. So I kind of started LBEB mostly as a way to keep my job there. So I looked busy, but I started it. I just was in a nutrition class one day at school. I wasn't reading the textbook. We were on a computer doing tracking for calories or something, and I just ran across the photo of some really large Icelandic strongman from the 80s, and I thought, man, I don't want to look like me anymore. I want to look like that. So in 2011, I was 165 pounds. And now I'm 275. I've been 275 for about 2 years. And I kind of started it too to just post my little versions of rants against things that I thought were kind of silly in CrossFit when I was doing CrossFit. And then it just turned into a place where I wanted to sell a couple t-shirts. And then fast forward about a year, and I had a roster of athletes and athletes around the world. We were doing seminars, programming for some competitive athletes, and now I've kind of settled into the role of sponsoring some world champs, doing the survival videos, the cooking show, and just generally wrestling Jimmy's.
So what took you from what did you say you were? 100 and
it was 165. I'll send you a photo.
165. That's
dude, that's 110 pounds.
Well, I got up to 292. It wasn't a good 292. So I spent the last year just kind of losing some fluff and sticking around 275 at a good looking weight, I think.
How tall are you?
6'5". So I could be over 320 and probably still look okay. But I kind of like where I am now.
Yeah, you're a big looking 6'5", too. Like, I've seen some small looking 6'5s, but you're like a 6'5 that looks like you could be 7 feet.
I think it's the leg length. It's pretty long.
Deceptively long legs.
Yeah, it's they're long, so they look a little bit skinny from certain angles, but they're not, I promise.
skinny, got to deal with skinny leg syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, I get called fat and skinny, like, on the same post. It's a real treat.
What's it like wrangling an internet company? I mean, you got to have a lot of shit talking going on out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes I will intentionally post things to wrestle certain Jimmies to get some people off of the page that I don't want there. Just because some people are there to disrupt the group. I like when the group is happy. If there's people there that are solely there to troll somebody, I just ban them because I'm interested in keeping the group happy and learning. I don't really want to have a site where we just mock CrossFitters or people on a BOSU ball. I used to, but exclusivity is not a great way to grow a business, I think. So I try to be inclusive to most people. Unless you're an asshole, then I don't want you.
And the thing is, something like, I would say CrossFit, Because I do CrossFit, but I've now have one strongman competition under my belt, so I'd consider myself an expert.
Me
But
too.
if it wasn't for CrossFit, I wouldn't have gotten into strongman. You know, we have a coach who's very into strongman. You know, that's kind of his thing. If he ever does a CrossFit workout, he'll sub everything for strongman-esque things. He's done a number of competitions, and he's the one who turned me on to lift big evenly.
Nice.
And he was like, "Hey," because I always carry my gallon jug of water around. And he's like, "Hey, have you ever seen Lift Big Eat Big?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "You have to. You're gonna love the logo." And
Yeah.
it's honestly one of the best designed logos I've ever seen. Did you do that yourself?
Now this woman, the original one where the jug is a little more, looks more like a jug. A woman named Jennifer Iron did that one. And the updated one, it looks a little more meaty and angry. David Quasha updated that one. But I do like the logo. I also like the name. It's the name is advice. You know, how do I get big? You lift big and eat big. So I think it's a nice little self-contained logo and business name. I don't really recommend doing the gallon of milk a day anymore. That's what the logo was for. But in a pinch, if you do need a lot of calories that are that come with a bunch of water, that's a way to do it. It'll just smell really bad.
So that was originally designed for a gallon of milk a day. And here's a question I'd like to ask you, because this is recently, someone recently told me about this, and I'd like to get your take on it. They say after workout is one of the few times you'll have sugar, and it will be through like non-homogenized chocolate milk that they'll mix in with a protein shake. What, are there benefits to non-homogenized milk or chocolate milk, or what's the story on that?
I believe non-homogenized just means the fat particles in it aren't reduced to an amount. Like you'd open the milk and there's a layer of cream on the top. It doesn't make a difference. It's a personal preference thing, non-homogenized. I think I could be wrong, but I believe it means it's passed through a strainer that's incredibly fine, so the fat particles stay in the liquid without binding back together and forming clumps. I like clumps, but there's nothing magical about them. And actually, the marketing job that I was in was for the dairy industry, and we had to push chocolate milk a lot. But I do think it's a nice after-workout thing. I personally don't drink a lot of chocolate milk. There's something about how much sugar is in there. Like we were selling one, I'm not going to say the name, but it was like 14 grams of protein, 88 grams of sugar, and that ratio was just crazy for me. So I like a 2-to-1 ratio of carbs and protein, but that's just too much sugar, even for me, unless it had more protein in it. But
That's why they
sugar,
push it so hard.
yeah, I mean, it like leaves a film of sugar on your teeth. It's just like a personal thing. Maybe I had it too much when I worked there. I had like 5 or 6 cases a month, but that could be it.
You
But
get big quick.
yeah, it's like 20 16-ounce bottles times 5. So that was a lot of sugar.
Is a lot of sugar. So when you got into Strongman, what was the first attraction to it?
Well, I honestly don't consider myself a great lifter. I'm good at some things. The things I'm good at typically are things that other people are really bad at, like axle snatches or goofy stuff, like pulling a 605-pound deadlift with no warm-up, which is like 20 pounds under my max. I just walked in the gym and did it. I took off my backpack and did it. So I'm kind of good at goofy stuff. I'm really good at stones, but what attracted me was the fact that I'm not great with barbells. I have this like learning disorder that makes proprioception a little bit difficult, as well as I was born with congenital knock knees. So squatting and snatching and cleaning and all that, my knee angle just comes in from my hips. So strongman is a way that I can kind of get around this sense of having perfect form with everything, like pressing stuff out on a snatch or a clean. And there's a lot of technique involved in strongman, which Alana Casey has taught me a lot of. But I just like the idea of get it done however you can. There's no rules on pressing out. It's ground to overhead, lockout, however you can. So that was really appealing to me, is just oddly shaped objects that kind of mimic things in the actual world, like snatching, cleaning, is not functional to me, because you'll never like put something on a shelf by catching it in a squat and then pressing it up. But if you're loading like a 400-pound smooth stone onto a platform, that's going to be a lot like moving day if you're moving houses or something. So it just really appeals to me, the sense of picking things that aren't built to be picked up. I've always liked that.
I mean, a perfect example of that would be right now I'm shingling a roof at work, and you have to take 80-pound shingles off roof, which the roof isn't flat, you know, carry it to another place of the roof. You know, the easiest way to do that is going to be usually on your shoulder. So
yeah.
How do you get it to your shoulder? Well, it's going to be some sort of clean, and it's not going to be that perfect lineup with it directly over the center of your feet, you know,
with
perfect
bar
path
thing. To fit in your hands and everything. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Like, that sounds like a block press, which I like too, just like a 200-pound steel block or a concrete block. Get it up however you can and lock it out. Go away.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that kind of just I would almost say it's a more raw strength.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, because a barbell is built to fit in your hands. It's perfectly loaded on each side. And there was one America's Strongest Man I saw where they had to pick up a 55-gallon barrel of water and carry it like 50 meters, which is crazy. That thing was so huge. And it's an actual thing that you would see in the world. So I'm not really this big proponent of, that's not functional. You wouldn't do that in real life. But for the type of lifting I want to do, I want it to be short to the point where I can go as hard as I can without everything breaking down. So most events are like 60 or 90 seconds. And I just like the idea of trying to use whatever limb advantage you can to finish the event. So some people say strongmen are the masters of leverage, and I think that's pretty true. If you've ever seen a log press or a stone, you got people's back angle like this with a stone sitting on their chest. So that's always appealed to me.
I've got a question as far as kind of strongman and competitions and stuff. You know, I grew up watching the competitions on ESPN and everything else, and even more so, you know, I know a friend that works with some of the guys that do some strongman competitions. But in an actual competition or event, is there any baseline as to certain events, or is it just rhyme or reason as to there's any particular event can happen at any different event?
How do we pick events?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's another thing I like about strongman is, unlike CrossFit, you have the events at least a month or two in advance because it's a sport. So you need to be able to train for the thing you're going to compete in. But every competition is different. If you have a log at your house that's a certain size and weight, it's going to be a different log at the show. So you don't always know what's coming. So it really pays to be what I call spontaneously strong. That's why I like to do things with no warm-up or with minimal warm-up, because at my first event was a 750-pound yoke, and the only thing to warm up with were dumbbells and resistance bands. So it's really important for me to be able to get under almost maximal weight without needing to warm up, because if you train, this is just my opinion, a lot of people disagree with it, but that's okay. I think if you train in a way where you always have to have a 30-minute stretching session, lots of reps to warm up with the thing you're going to warm up on, if you get to a show and there's no warm-up area, you're gonna not do very well. So I like to do the spontaneously strong stuff. And back to your question, most shows have a push event, a pull event, a ground to overhead event, sometimes two medleys, which is just carrying stuff back and forth. I'm good at that. I have long arms and legs, so I can move pretty quick. And then usually some sort of stone event. And I like stones the best.
Did you catch the, what was it? They just did like a CrossFit Invitational and they had stones in there.
I did.
I mean, there's not a strongman quality stone moving going on, right?
Well, I mean, that's a big thing that I unteach people at seminars is the way certain CrossFit strongman instructors teach the movements is not how they're done in competition. They're done for CrossFit. So if you're paying someone to teach you strongman, I personally would want to learn from someone that competes, that does things in a competition style. Like loading a stone to your shoulder is, I've only seen it at one show. I've done nine, or I've done eight. And, you know, using.
Yeah, so you saw the thing, the CrossFit Invitational. I mean, let's not say that's not competitive level strongman stone moving.
I would say, yeah, well, what I was saying before was the way that certain CrossFit strongman instructors teach things is just not taught in a way that are actually done in competitions, because a lot of these instructors have never even competed in strongman. So when they teach things, when we get to our seminar, we spend about half the time unteaching things. You know, like we use tacky, we start with our ass high when we load a stone. And then some of these instructors are saying, you know, use chalk because tacky is a crutch. Squat down to pick it up, load it to your shoulder. I've only seen it loaded to a shoulder once, and I've done eight competitions. So it's just not a very common thing. So the way I like to teach things is a competition style, because it allows us to lift the most amount of weight with the least chance of injury. If it's something that's always hurting us, we aren't going to do it. So I like to teach movements in a way that are done in competitions.
And like you said there, I mean, minimum risk of injury, because you're talking about extreme amounts of weight. So an example of a stone carry, what's some examples of what you guys might encounter in a competition?
Well, my favorite event is stones. The last stone thing I did, it was a 355-pound stone to 52 inches, max reps in a minute. I got six, which was double the second place guy. So I'm pretty good at stones. I take a lot of pride in that, because it's really the only thing that I know I can poop on most people with. I'm tall. I have long limbs to reach around the stone. So I'm pretty confident in that. And I usually do pretty well. My first competition, I did it in a hoodie. I didn't even get it off the ground. I had a new tattoo. It was a bad show, but it was a bright orange hoodie. It was embarrassing.
So everyone could see how good you were doing.
Yep. Look at the guy in the hoodie who's not moving the stone.
there's probably nothing more embarrassing than being the guy who can't move it, right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows what it feels like, but it still feels like crap to just go out there and get all tackied up and everything, and then just pull on a stone like it's the sword in the stone for a minute. And there's this big guy out here, Andrew Palmer. He's almost, well, he's over 400 pounds. He was then 6'6", pro, just screaming at me to take my hoodie off while I was trying to load it. It was just, it was a bad show.
Trying to move a giant stone while a giant man's yelling at you and you just can't do it.
Yeah, a giant man yelling at me to take my clothes off. It was quite an experience.
Do you think, though, with the rise, you think if they start seeing more, say, strongman in CrossFit, you'll start seeing better strongman teaching in CrossFit?
I think as long as CrossFit refuses to use actual strongmen to teach things, it's going to continue to not really be too true to strongmen. I know Rogue is partnered with a lot of pro strongmen, and I think that's good, but you just can't do strongman type things. We do things for a minute for a reason, because after a minute, you really run the risk of hurting yourself. You know, I think the biggest injury in strongman is a bicep tear. So we spend a lot of time on our biceps. And if you're doing like 30 stone to shoulders, that's just a lot of reps. I personally would rather see, I mean, that's kind of why I like being in the heavier class. For our class, for people who want to eat really good food and not necessarily count macros. So
yeah,
spend a lot of time working on those things now.
Yeah, I was going to do a kind of little video on that, just because I grew up eating that stuff. And I mean, my dad's from Mexico, so it was one of those deals, having the different flair from the different different region with the very similar food that we eat regularly. Yep. I tell you what, man, it's really good. And like you said, there's some salts and stuff in there that it's not hugely popular probably with the fitness crowd, but it tastes damn good. Shit.
Yeah, not everything I do is for lifters. I think that's – can you hear me, Will?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's embarrassing to be wearing a bright orange hoodie with new tattoos and having a giant man yelling at you to take your clothes off in front of everybody. But I think it's just as embarrassing to be a podcast host who can't get a damn podcast to work.
Yeah, that's important.
Are you back on, Will? Are you recording?
Yeah, I restarted my computer.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening with it. I just started recording when I picked up the call again, just so I had.
Well, so in true natural born hunter form with minimal editing, Brandon and I were talking about food now. So we've kind of shifted the conversation to food slightly.
What are you talking about? I came back and all I could hear was, yeah, it's not really for the fitness crowd, but man, it's damn good.
it's just a Mexican, Matthew Ament in his awesome tutorial videos with cooking food, you know, a mutual friend of ours, he's done some stuff. And in that, I've got a recipe that I'd make at home. It's for meatballs, but it's a Mexican version of meatballs. Meatballs in Spanish called albondigas. And I was looking at Brandon's recipes online, and you know, there's some stuff that some meatballs that I saw there that kind of reminded me of that. But I might throw a little video together on that albondigas recipe. And but I just, you know, we're talking food, and we're talking about how, you know, his stuff online is go ahead. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it, Brandon? I don't want to, misinform the crowd about.
So I mean, I made that video on my learning disorder later. So a big part of that is I like, you know, being able to control my environment. I get a lot of anxiety when things are out of my control. And along with that, a lot of my cooking is not necessarily food for lifters. I mean, they can eat it, but if you're counting macros and everything, I don't list any of that for my recipes anymore unless I'm doing a meal plan. So the food I make is more about what is the best way I can make something using science and just retesting everything over and over. So a big inspiration of that for me is this guy named Kenji. He runs a site called Serious Eats in the Food Lab. And he's just obsessed on like a scientific microscopic level.
All right. So you also recently, I mean, you're known for the Lift Big, Eat Big stuff, right? For the strong man, for the great articles, you know, the no-nonsense opinion. What about now I see you have a sweet strength strip. Stumbling over my own words. A really sweet grip-strengthening hammer.
Yeah, yeah. That's from StrongerGrip.com, only sold through us. He just makes the coolest grip training stuff. I had some of his original hammers. They're like 22 pounds, loadable with steel shot. And it's got like a 3-inch handle, a big red rocket button at the bottom. But it's just a great tool for striking tires or doing, what are they called? Pretty boys. We just hold it and lower it to your face and back up like with a big sledgehammer. But yeah, I think that's a pretty great tool. I use it a lot for some of my firefighting women that I'm coaching to prepare them for their CPAT test, which worked out pretty well. So I got the grip strength stuff, but I think what really sets my site apart from other lifting sites is I am a businessman who lifts. I'm not a lifter who owns a business. So I think I have a lot more to offer than simply squat depth articles and deadlift advice. And you know, I got my degree in theological archaeology and historical religion. So not religious anymore.
A lot of things you can do with that degree, huh?
Nothing to make money, but it does train you to think in a different way. So I try to incorporate a lot of historical stuff into my posts. I am pivoting the brand away a little bit from just lifting, as you can see in those survival and outdoor videos. I'm trying to get the live big aspect of it going because I do travel a lot and I just have a lot of interests and I don't want to be pigeonholed by just lifting and eating. So I'm trying to expand that a little bit.
That's understandable. And tell us a little bit about the whole live big thing, because I've watched your videos recently. You're going out into the wilderness, kind of sticking to a little more traditional way of going about these adventures. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I mean, I was homeschooled for most of my childhood, and when we would study history, we wouldn't just read about it. This might sound like child abuse in this day and age, but when we studied the Mayflower crossing, we studied it for a month, and then we lived in our attic for a week and had to cook food up there and sleep up there and do our school up there to really to see what it felt like to be in a small, cramped area. Or when we studied Valley Forge, we had to go live in the snow for 2 days and make cornmeal food and stuff from bacon only. And then my favorite was when we studied the Civil War. We studied that for an entire summer, and then we spent a few days in the mountains building field tents and hospitals and trenches and stuff like that. So this new series I have now, you guys there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can anyone hear me?
You guys there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello? Phil, can you hear me?
You guys there still?
Yeah, can you hear us?
I can hear something.
Good.
I can hear Phil.
Yeah, I've got you guys.
All right.
So now it's happening to you. Damn it.
Okay, now I see you guys. Did you hear everything I said?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so when we studied Gettysburg, we had to go dig the trenches and all that stuff, just to kind of see what it was really like. So now when I read history, I literally need to experience it to understand it. So this new survival series I have, it's like half survival, half of what I call living history, where I mean you can read about pioneers and everything, but I want to know how crappy it is to carry a flintlock through the snow and just focus on keeping it dry, or carrying minimal amount of food and having to build a shelter using tools they had. So it's a way for me to experience the stuff that I study to get a better grasp on it, because yeah, it just history makes me real emotional studying it, especially when I can kind of experience some of it as well. So it's just a way for me to get my interests out there. I'm a bit of an introvert. I don't really like hanging out with people, so it's a way for me to interact with people without having to actually look at them, if I can film at all. But yeah, I get a huge, huge kick out of, I don't want to say reenacting because that sounds a little goofy, but just kind of understanding what it's like to live the way they did. Aware of how my body will react to something. So I think just being in tune with your body has definitely helped with hunting, or knowing that if you have a certain pain somewhere or a cramp or something, I'll know how to fix that. But generally, I don't know if squatting makes you a better hunter. It mentally it will help, but there's just something about hunting that sucks. I always say hunting, camping, surviving sucks until you get back and you think about the good stuff only. You forget the bad stuff and then you want to go again. But sometimes while I'm doing it, it's just the most miserable thing ever. But when I get back, I can't wait to go back out. So I think kind of training yourself to be able to suck it up and get through some hard stuff has helped from the lifting side for sure.
You end up almost a little addicted to the abuse.
Yeah. You have to be a little crazy to be a lifter and an outdoor person. So if you can do both, you're definitely crazy.
What's your favorite trend right now you see going on in sports and fitness?
I guess my favorite trend would just be, Can you rephrase the question?
All right, what's your favorite thing right now going on in fitness? Let's put it this way. What do you see going on right now that you're like, man, this is new and exciting. This is interesting. I'd like to look more into it.
I do like that more people are getting into actual lifting. I know that's so stereotypical, but on the same side as that, I do like that more people are now going back to the idea of yes, lifting with machines is okay. I actually I've spent about 6 months this year doing like 40% of my programming with machines, just because there are no movements with the barbell that can be mimicked, or there are movements on machines that barbells cannot mimic no matter what you do. So at least for me, like with my valgus, I've been doing hundreds of reps on the adductor-abductor machines, where you spread your legs and make eye contact with people. And that has really helped my my valgus. If you watch my deadlift or squats now, they don't come in as much. So it's really allowed me to work muscles I've literally never used. So I think that's good that people are now recognizing there is more to life than squat, bench, deadlift. You cannot do that and expect to be great. And the people that are real proponents of you only need to do squat, bench, deadlift, and strict press are typically not very strong. The strongest people I know recognize the need for everything. Like Matt, get bigger, every machine, every free weight. And I'm a big fan of non-dogmatic training. I've noticed that when people are new, they only think one way is the only way, because it's the only way they know. And they don't want to think that they, A, may be wrong, or B, there's something better out there that they don't know. So I think when people get better, they start to realize there are a million different ways to get to the same goal. So that's what I like. I like that people are now getting stronger and recognizing, like, CrossFit is so against bicep curls, it's hilarious. It's a muscle that you need to use. Pretending like it's a muscle you need to be ashamed of is why people are walking around with small biceps. I mean, in our sport, biceps are super important, and mine are pretty small. I got long arms, but I'm trying to get them bigger, but just less dogmatic about training. And I see it a lot more in people that don't have a lot of experience, myself included, when I started. So that's a good thing for me.
I do a lot of bicep curls.
Good.
But that's part of, I mean, you got to do what you enjoy doing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll just do 10 minutes of curls with a 45-pound barbell. I filmed it a couple times. It's really boring, but you can see what I'm doing.
That's true. You're not going to make it exciting, get a lot of hits videos on YouTube just curling.
No, it's the 10 minutes of your life you won't get back video series that I have.
Big hit, right?
People still watch it. Then they get mad at the end, like, what the hell? Just curls? Like, yep, it's in the title.
What's your biggest video you've done?
I think the biggest video I've done, let me go look. I'm pretty sure it was some of our more produced videos. One of my friends is a videographer. He's a great guy. And I would say the highest viewed video we have is the one that he produced with music and slow-mo and everything. But
people love slow motion.
Oh, man, I love it. I'm obsessed. Like, if you look at my YouTube, it's 40% slow-mo. Monday, like, dirty porn stuff because it's in slow motion. I get a pretty big kick out of that. And the more those things annoy people, the more I want to do them. I love wrestling jimmies. But yeah, right now a lot of the video views are just coming from the cooking videos, which is fun. I get to cook with my shirt off.
I see that. You have a pretty, I would say, it's almost iconic outfit you wear cooking.
Yeah, it's a denim apron that I got from an old school butcher shop. So I got that. It just allows me to have fun without having to hang out with people, but still let them see my video later. So I do that, and I do a lot of, I make a lot of my own butter. It's a really boring thing to do, so I try to spice it up with reenacting movie scenes with. Actually, I'll send it to you right now. It's gold. I love it.
Butter.
Yeah, I saw one of the aprons on your site. I might have to try to pick up. I don't know if I'll fit into it, if it's for like bigger people. But the whole adult apron, my favorite animal is steak.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I actually
really like, you have a fitted hat on there, but I couldn't find it. I've seen you wearing it, but then I couldn't find it on your store.
Was it, let's see, is that like a snapback or like a trucker hat?
It's not bad. Back.
Yeah, maybe you looked in the gear shop and not the apparel shop.
I don't know. I've been all over them.
Okay, well, I'll send you a link for those too.
Yeah, let's get a link for these. We'll pass it on to our listeners.
Sweet. I sent you that my latest butter video. I sent it on this chat just right now. It's comedy gold.
I'll add that for anyone who wants to see Brandon churn some butter.
I mean, just do something without your shirt off and people will like it. That's pretty much the game.
See, where you're getting big guys telling you to take your clothes off, I usually get people telling me to put them back on.
Well, you just got to look at them with really heavy eye contact and don't say anything, and then they'll stop saying dumb things to you. Just try that. Loudly and lowly, and they'll leave you alone. That's what I do.
Let me ask you this, and this is kind of a little bit of a hot topic in the evening industry. Flat brim versus curved brim.
I do not curve. I don't want to look like a T-ball coach anymore. I used to curve them down. Phil, what's up? I turn mine up because I have a huge head, and I'm not crazy about being bald, so I try to wear a hat a lot. But I do like to turn my bill up. No folding for me. Plus, I don't wear the thin hats like Phil has. I do have one. It's a 5'11 hat, but otherwise, I just wear the flat brim hats. Turn them up.
So, I'm gonna. Usually, this conversation with Will and I goes to quite a bit of bickering. But when there's a 6'5", almost 300-pound man telling me he's not for the curved brim, I'm going to shut up my mouth.
No, I got special taste, so you don't have to worry about it.
I will say this. You're probably better off with the bald head because I think you look more badass.
Well, I mean, I guess people do respect a bald head even if they don't find it more attractive. But I would really like to have Brad Pitt's hair from the Fury movie. That would just be so tight. But I think being bald is a little more timeless than a trendy haircut, I tell myself. But yeah, it's not bald by choice. It's bald by fatherhood. You know, my dad's balding. Thanks, Dad. It fell off here and came onto here and my shoulders in the past couple of years.
You know what, though? Imagine if you couldn't grow a badass beard, though, and you just had, like, a little shitty beard and no hair. That would be worse.
I'd be a penis with a mustache, I think. That's what it would look like.
Store, and you have a ton of merchandise.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, you're a businessman that lifts. I can, dude, you must be killing it. You got to be killing. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here that I like.
Well, it's funny. When I started, my biggest source of income was the apparel. But now there are 1.5 million brands that can pop up overnight with some dumbass like squat quote on the shirt that they stole from somebody else. So the market is just so saturated. The money's just not there like it used to be. But on the flip side, all of my coaching and consultation money is up, and that's what really keeps the business going is the coaching. So the apparel is not really money I count on too much anymore. I don't put too much time into it just because when I started, there was like 5 or 6 non-CrossFit brands that CrossFitters listen to, but now there's dozens and dozens, and we're all selling the same stuff. So I'm really trying to get away from apparel and more into real world equipment, like the singlets that nobody else has, or the.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think Phil should wear one of those singlets.
I'm real proud of the singlets. They're pretty cool. They're actually rowing kits from the UK that I now use for singlets.
You know what? I've seen Brandon model a lot of Two-Fill that I happen to love.
What's that?
Tights.
Tights.
Tight game up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's this local place called Bombsheller. They make some pretty cool stuff. But yeah, you just gotta wear stuff and
I've gone to their website after you posted stuff and I could not find those tights. I couldn't find men's tights.
Well, they're unisex.
Oh, I kept looking for the man section. Couldn't find it.
Well, you're on a spandex site, so.
Brandon's wearing ladies' tights, so that's where I went wrong.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I've worn specifically tights for women before because they didn't make any men's. But, yeah, these were specifically women's tights from Australia. And you just wear stuff confidently enough, and no one's going to give you crap about them. Or they do, and you just don't care anyway, and then they get jealous that you don't care, and then they copy you. That's what happens.
I'm not trying to interrupt you guys on the tights talk, but I'm gonna get me a Bicepticon shirt. I'm getting a Bicepticon shirt.
Yeah, there's Bicepticon, Squattobot, and something else.
Legatron.
Yep.
Legatron. I'm gonna be repping a Bicepticon shirt on the Natural Born Hunter podcast very soon
Nice.
because, yeah, dude,
Because you're gonna be doing
I'm gonna have
curls,
to.
Phil.
Hey, I do curls all the time. I may not be lifting as much weight as you guys, but
Well, I think it'd be
you
funny if
know.
you did. Some of my athletes, well, the one I train with, Matt Falk, he hates those Transformer shirts, but the more he tells me he hates them, the more I like promoting them. So it's just, they're popular.
So
I think
Brandon,
they're
you're
funny.
telling me if I send you a 10-minute video of Phil doing bicep curls and his Bicepticon shirt, you're gonna put it up on Lift Big Eat Big?
Yeah, I'll post it. I like trolling my own people.
Hey
Favorite
man, I'm down. I'm okay to be a sex symbol now
I'll protect you in the comments. It's
and
job.
one thing you may not—I don't even know if I told you this about Phil. So that competition, the Train to Hunt, we do. Phil is the 2014 Open champion of Train to Hunt, and he did not defend his title this year because he was sheep hunting, which I mean is a great excuse not to do it, but.
Hey, bighorn sheep tag, man! You got to go chase those rams where they live. That's that. That was right where I was. But
What state are you guys in for this?
I'm in Colorado.
I'm in
Okay.
Clark.
I think two people every year get those tags in Washington. It's a very big lottery ticket because there's just not a whole lot of sheep out here. Wild sheep, or what do they call them? You call them rams? Ours
Yeah.
rams. But
Yeah.
yeah, there's only two tags a year in the state. So if you do get one, it's pretty cool. But I've never actually seen one in the wild here. I did see two lynx. I saw a lynx walk by, two coyotes, and then another lynx and a coyote all within like 7 or 8 seconds of each other, just on the same little path. That was weird. That was cool. And unrelated to what you just said. Sorry.
That's all good, man.
Yeah, it's
We see squirrels here all the time.
that's
I got a fish wheel back. Shh. Every once in a while, I go fishing on this show. Will, get back here.
We've only had one episode we couldn't post due to some comments I may have made.
Yeah, I got you there. I try to not swear too much on posts or anything, just because I think it turns some people off. But sometimes, man,
I'm a casual
it's.
swear too. Like I in the gym, the F word comes out,
Oh
you
yeah,
know.
in private life I only swear. It's like 80% swear words and then a couple ands and ums. But other than that, professionally, no swearing. That's one of my rules.
See, I'd rather say the F word instead of
That's
I feel like that's a real word. Is just a placeholder.
a good point. Sometimes I just make up random words when I don't know what else to say.
Now, other than bicep curls, what do you think would be like three exercises hunters should try? Or swordsmen
Lunges,
will say.
yoke, and pull-ups.
Why those three?
Well, lunges, that's straight up walking up a hill. That's the hardest part of hunting for me, is just walking up hills with a pack on. Yoking, just getting used to being crushed by weight if you need to carry out an elk hindquarter or something, or just getting used to the feeling of being crushed. And pull-ups, it's a pretty good body weight movement for your upper body if you ever need to pull yourself up rocks or whatnot. But other than that, if I had to pick three, those would be the three, just because I wouldn't really recommend squatting or deadlifting, simply because it's a controlled lift with a thing that wants to be picked up, that you won't really do too often out in the wild, but that's my opinion. Goodwill.
Yeah, I like that. Sorry, my wife was asking me about me ordering her Christmas presents, which is,
Oh,
yeah,
which you did months ago.
I'm gonna tell you. No, I'm getting her maternity clothes, so it's a good thing I did order it months ago, having our first little baby. And this is something that now that we're having a baby, it's like one thing I really think about now. I know Phil's just gotten his oldest boy, who's still a little guy. He's got him into MMA and fitness and stuff. And it's always one of those things where I see these little videos now of the baby doing like a squat with like a foam bar or something in their head, and I always think about like how much better they are at moving than I am. I struggle to touch my toes. Watch like a kid can just get in any position.
You can read and write though, and you can drive a car, so
I'm
you're still
slightly better. I'm far superior than you, young child.
take what you can get.
That's right.
Well, I think I'm going to skedaddle off to breakfast soon.
Hi, brother.
Thanks a
Well,
lot.
man, hey, we appreciate the time. We'll have to pick this up again because there's a bunch more questions I know that I have, but I might have to do that with a Legatron shirt on next time, and or maybe I eat steak or what was the other one? The apron? Did I tell you what?
The steak.
My that's it.
I'm proving.
I'm all about it, man.
Couldn't find that.
I might be doing my Christmas shopping on the Live Big Eat Big website for myself.
Thanks, so you better hurry. Tomorrow's the
What's that?
Tomorrow is the shipping deadline. If you want it by Christmas
Uh-oh.
for yourself, so you might want to skedaddle there. But yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Cool, man. Well, we appreciate your time, Will. I know that Will's got a.
I got a lot of editing to do.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
Right,
we're
we'll
gonna call
to
this the soft. The soft launch of the Brandon Morrison episode, and we'll have to get you back on to do a more when it's up and running, more conclusive, full version.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Just let me know when.
Okay.
All right, man. Thank you for coming up.
Guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Natural Born Hunter podcast. Wake up, chase your dreams, repeat. I'm back. You thought the podcast was over. This super episode was done, but it's not because I forgot one thing. Please subscribe. Or, leave us a really great review on our iTunes. Or go to YouTube. We're there too now. I know. My mind's blown as well. Thank you.